We're almost there. Less than 48 hours to go. The 500th anniversary of the Reformation. In Germany, the 10 years of the Luther decade comes to a close with the Reformation Jubilee. I have no idea what sort of festivities are planned, but I've imagined a typical American-style celebration. Revelers imitate Luther's historic delivery of the 95 Theses with foam rubber hammers, just pounding away. Costumed Katies and Luthers roam the crowds. A lighted neon Stein sits atop a pole. At the stroke of midnight, a gazillion Lutherans will shout, "Here I stand!" And fireworks will light the sky. Heaven forbid my imagination is anything close to what's planned. Especially when Lutherans and Catholics have been grappling for centuries about the Reformation, and for decades about how to mark this particular day, or for that matter, any other Reformation day. Many of us recall annual community Reformation services. St. Matthew's hosted Charleston area churches. I was there every year. Hardly a seat was left empty. Everybody would talk about their German ancestors. Congregation councils processed in with banners. Special music and musicians performed. The swell of a mighty fortress caused our spirits to soar. It was like we would leave floating on air. It was Lutheran Pride Day, but pride, of course, is one of the seven deadly sins. And while once a year we had Lutheran Pride Day, at the same time, just inside a pair of red Lutheran doors of a St. Louis congregation, a young girl watched her best friend get married. She could not serve as maid of honor. Her priest refused her permission to participate. This from Pastor Bruce Modahl of his mother's 1944 wedding. So here we are boasting about how wonderful Lutherans are on one hand, and then a young woman is refused the honor of participating in her best friend's wedding. So what do we do with this day? What do we do with it? Lutherans are the only denomination with Reformation Sunday on its calendar of festivals and commemorations. Go anywhere else and you say, "Oh, it's Reformation Sunday," and they're going to look at you like, "What?" No one else intentionally wears red on this particular Sunday. So is today a celebration? An observance? A lamentation? Or all of the above? I suggest it's all of the above. Jesus prayed to God the Father in John 17. "I ask not only on behalf of my disciples, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one." That all may be one, so that those who are yet to believe can see the unity we share in Jesus and thereby be drawn into the faith. But we Christians are not one, nowhere near it. We remain divided not only after 500 years, but right from almost the very start, we have had division for practically 2,000 years. We've been pecking and snarking and literally stabbing each other for bragging rights. Our truth is the only truth. You have no truth. But Jesus' prayer echoes that they may all be one so that others will believe. Now, in Germany, planning for the 500 has involved various governments and Protestant church agencies for well over a decade. It's also been a major tourist event. And in a 2016 article, Dr. Michael Root, formerly of Southern Seminary, now of Catholic University in Washington, asks this question. Could Catholics participate in a jubilee celebrating the event that, whatever else might be true about it, led to the largest division in Western Christian history? Can Catholics celebrate it? Can my Catholic family members celebrate in a division? Can Lutherans celebrate a division? Dr. Root quotes Cardinal Kurt Koch of the Vatican's Council for Christian Unity. One should not speak of a jubilee, but of a Reformation commemoration, for we cannot celebrate a sin. We cannot celebrate a sin. Jesus prayed that they all may be one so that others will be drawn to the church to believe. Commemoration is a good word to use for the 500th. It expresses less Lutheran swagger than does jubilee. It implies, even if only slightly, we might have begun to sense the sadness of our division and the natural consequences that the church endures as a result. The division in the church gives us a bad reputation. People call us hypocrites, call us bigots, they call us terrorists. And they wonder why in the world they would want to join such a people. That's the consequence of division. But hopefully, we're coming to understand this division a little differently. So we have lamentation, we have commemoration, and now, indeed, we do have celebration. For in spite of everything, we do have a great deal to celebrate, not just Lutherans, but the whole of Christendom. For God is now, even now, mending our brokenness, healing our broken hearts by carving God's covenant upon them. As Jeremiah wrote, "I will put my law within them and I will engrave it upon their hearts. No longer shall they teach one another or say to one another, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, all of us, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." God will forgive our division and remember it no more. God is at work among us. This we can see in concrete ways. For after years of discussion and study and listening, Lutherans and Roman Catholics in 1999 signed what's known as the Joint Declaration on the Doctrine of Justification. That's quite a mouthful, very scholarly sounding. But here's a brief explanation. What that document says is that Roman Catholics and most of the world's Lutheran churches now agree on the way that we are saved. We now agree on the way we are saved, only by God's extraordinary grace and not by what we can do to earn our way into God's favor. we have come together. In that document, we've also said the criticisms and the denunciations that we've lobbed at each other are no longer valid. It's a document of repentance that we regret our sinfulness. And just 1 year ago in Lund, Sweden, Lutherans and Catholics held a joint commemoration of the Reformation. Pope Francis was there. Can you imagine? Bishop Eaton was there along with many others. Another joint declaration was signed, and this one recognizes the schism between us and affirmed that what unites us is stronger than what divides us. What unites us is stronger than what divides us. And again, Jesus' prayer continues to echo, that they may all be one, so that others may believe. 1999 and 2016 are monumental occasions for the church. And these two international events and countless other local gestures of hospitality, of listening, and repentance mean now that most Lutheran church bodies and Roman Catholics are closer to reconciliation than we have ever been since 1517. Lutherans and Catholics are closer to reconciliation than we have ever been since 1517. That's saying a mouthful. And it's the good news today. For this intentional work among our churches is a clear message to those who are on a journey to come to faith in Christ Jesus. And our response is one of thankfulness for the work of reconciliation. Our response is also to make doggone sure we know about these things. Our job is to know what happened in 1999 and what happened just a year ago, because this is news we're going to have to share. It's news we're going to have to share because we have that bad reputation. It's not all bad, but, you know, it's when you're talking to someone who doesn't know anything about the church, there's been a lot of negative publicity out there in the media. And so our job is to know what our church is doing with Roman Catholics, with United Methodist, with the Episcopal Church USA, with the Presbyterian Church USA, with the Moravian Church, with the Reformed Churches in America, with the United Church of Christ, and beyond that, what Christians and Jews are talking about. It's a start toward cleaning up our checkered reputation. The days are surely coming, the days are surely here, says Jeremiah. God is working through the Holy Spirit, reforming hearts and minds. That is something we are thankful about as Lutherans, ever reforming, acknowledging that God will not allow us to sit still and stay in one place, but that God is moving on, that God is working to tear down obsolete and isolating walls of sin, that God is working to free us to embrace God's will and let go of our own will for the healing of the nations and for the redemption of the cosmos, the redemption of all that there is without exception. Thanks be to God. Amen.